You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Wherever you are listening to this broadcast, we welcome you. This is Alvin A. Craig, praying that the Lord will make our broadcast a blessing to you today. We're opening our service with the West Virginia Trio singing for us, The Blood-Bought Church.
Since I gave all to Jesus, to His kingdom I belong. I'm a member of His blood-bought strong. When He stretches hand of mercy, He made right my every wrong. Now I sing the great redemption song.
Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful for the privilege we have today of presenting Thy Gospel on this broadcast. And we are praying that the precious Holy Spirit will use us as a vessel for Thee and will also bless our congregation with ears to hear what You have to say to them through Thy Word. So take our broadcast, make it a blessing to each heart, and get honor and glory to Yourself through it. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing our song service with the song, The Church's Jubilee.
Oh,
Our subject for today's broadcast, Revelation 12. So I'll begin reading with verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Now this woman did not represent a literal woman. She is a symbol of the church. And heaven spoken of in this verse is not talking about heaven where God's throne is, but in an exalted state. And the crown that she had on her head, and the 12 stars, those stars represented the apostles, the 12 apostles, and they in turn represented all of God's true ministers. Well, why were they symbolized by stars? Well, stars give off light. Not all heavenly bodies do, but stars give off light. And of course, her crown represents the fact that she was reigning and that she was victorious. Now, the moon that she was standing on represents the old covenant, and the sun, which clothed her, represents the new covenant, Jesus Christ and the new covenant. And she, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered, means that she had a sincere soul burden for the salvation of the lost. Now, if you question as to whether this woman symbolized and represented the church, all you need do is to look at verse 17. For here we read that her seed are they which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And of course, her seed means her children. And the Bible tells us when Zion travailed, she brought forth children. And Paul tells us that Jerusalem, which is another type of the church, but Jerusalem, which is from above, is free, which is the mother of us all. And so here in these first two verses of Revelation 12, we have a picture of the early morning church and the 12 apostles and her clothed with a new covenant and standing on the moon. And she is pictured as having a sincere soul burden and travailing in birth to pain to be delivered for the salvation of souls. Now, looking at verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now here again, heaven in this passage of Scripture does not represent the throne where the throne of God is, but it represents an exalted state, just like with the woman. And this dragon is not the devil. Now, I realize that a lot of people teach that, but the Bible does not. Oh, yes, in the 9th verse of Revelation 12, it does say that the dragon was called the devil and Satan, but it does not say that he was actually Satan. The word devil means destroyer, and the word Satan means adversary. And this dragon symbolized and represented the pagan Roman kingdom, the 4th kingdom of Daniel's vision in Revelation, or in Daniel chapter 2. You remember that Nebuchadnezzar had a great dream, and there was an image of 4 parts, but he did not know the meaning of it. And they called Daniel in, and Daniel told him there was a God in heaven who revealeth secrets. And so this image had four parts. The head of gold represented the Babylonian kingdom, and the breast of silver there represented the Medo-Persian kingdom, and the third kingdom was the Grecian kingdom, and the fourth kingdom was the pagan Roman kingdom. Now, people talk about a war in heaven and the devil being cast out. There's no truth to that kind of reasoning or teaching. There was never a war in heaven where God's throne was or is, and there never will be a war there. This war that Revelation 12 talks about is the war between the early morning church and the paganistic worshipers of the Roman kingdom. Now, I'm not talking about the civil government of Rome. I'm talking about the idol-worshipping people there in the Roman kingdom. So the dragon represents the pagan Rome from the standpoint of their idol worshippers. And that's where the war was. They endeavored to fight against the truth of the gospel. They endeavored to overcome and defeat. We read in the book of Revelation about this war, but it was not in heaven, I say, and it was not the actual personal devil. Oh yes, the pagan powers, those pagan religions were endued, they were empowered by Satan, quite true. But the pagan Roman kingdom is the fourth kingdom of Daniel chapter 2, and it represented particularly the pagan idol worshippers. And the war that was going on was between this false religion and the true religion represented by the pure holy woman. Now in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 34, we read about a stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and this stone became a great mountain, and it smote the image on its feet. Remember now, the image had four parts: Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Grecian, and the Roman. And the stone striking the image on its feet represents the time of Christ and the kingdom of God. Yes, the stone in verse 34 of Daniel 2 represents Christ and the kingdom of God. And when it speaks about it, the stone striking the image on his feet, it's talking about the same thing as this war that we're talking about between the false and the true. And some people want to put that stone out in the future, but that is not where it belongs. It belongs in the early morning church period. For we read in the Word of God, Jesus Christ himself said, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Daniel 2 and 44 tells us that in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and it shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And that's what Jesus was talking about. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. That's what Jesus was talking about in Mark 1 and 15 when he said, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." And we read in verse 11 of Revelation 12, the 11th verse, talking about the early morning church, "And they overcame him," talking about the dragon, "they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." So this warfare is not a literal warfare. No, it doesn't represent the supposed battle of Armageddon. It is a spiritual warfare. And the Bible speaks in regard to the Christians The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So Revelation 12:11 tells us how they overcame the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They indeed overcame, and they were victorious. Now, what happened to the early morning church? The apostles and the early church fathers died off, and the church began to compromise and to accept false teachings, just as Paul said they would. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. That's Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30. We also read in Paul's first letter to Timothy, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And so I say the apostles died off, and the early morning fathers died off, and the church began to compromise and began to accept false doctrine, just as the Apostle Paul said in these scriptures that I have read. And as a result, the early morning church, after the compromise set in, then came the church going into the wilderness. And that simply means that it was lost sight of. Yes, there was a true church, but what was looked upon as the true church in that period of time was not the true church at all. It was the compromised, worldly church, and the ministers, they began to exalt themselves and be rivals one with the other, and trying to usurp authority over the others. And finally, around the year 600 A.D., you have the first pope. No, Peter was not the first pope. In fact, Peter was not a pope at all. And if Peter was here today, he would doubtless be the first one to tell you that he was not a pope. In reality, according to biblical history, the one that was first called pope was around 600 A.D. And they exalted themselves, and they took over rule and authority, and the Spirit of God was ruled out, and that darkness settled upon the earth and existed for a long period of time. The woman that fled into the wilderness was to be there for 1260 days, one day representing a year, so she was to be there for a long period of time. But she came out of the wilderness. And I'd like to read here in Revelation chapter 14 about the church after it came out of the wilderness and the truth was restored to them. Reading Revelation chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion with him 144,000. Let me interrupt my reading here. There's two different times that 144,000 are mentioned. The first time, the 144,000 represents the early morning church. And now this 144,000 does not represent 144,000 Jews evangelizing the world. It represents the evening time church after it came out of the wilderness and came back to the light of the gospel. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. They didn't have the mark of the beast, no. They had the Father's name in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sang, or they sung as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four created beings and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. So this is talking about children of God, saints of God, singing a new song. And that new song was a song of deliverance from darkness and from false religion. And these are they which were not defiled with women. They are virgins. And that simply means that these Christians were pure and holy in their living. Now again, this woman represented the church, and the false woman in Revelation 17 represents false religion. So these 144,000 which were redeemed, they had not been defiled by false religion. They were virgins, and they were living pure, clean, and holy lives, and they were walking in the light of the gospel. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Yes, the evening light church had the same commission that the early morning church had, and that was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." And there followed another angel saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." So I say the false religion is symbolized and represented by a false woman, not the true. Thank God the church came out of the wilderness back into the light of the gospel, and Jesus Christ was standing there in the midst of them. I trust that these scriptures and thoughts will prove to be a blessing to you. And if you would like to have more information in regard to this subject, just feel free to write to us. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our congregation today. Use them for your glory and for their good. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing to you. If so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. And our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember that you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine if you go to our archives there on the internet. And we invite you to be with us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins at 20 minutes before 11,
and our evening service at 6. Our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Now we invite you to be with us on our next broadcast, and I'll take time to give you our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. May the Lord's blessings rest and abide upon you, and we invite you to be with us next week when we bring you another Way of Truth broadcast, the Lord willing.
Without fire.